Hello, Virgo, and welcome to For the Faithful, your 2025 spring reading from Planet Waves. I'm Eric Francis Compolino, your astrologer, here with a reading for you. It turns out that that Virgo was the 12th in the sequence. I kind of went in popcorn style, and Virgo came up last. Actually, I'm glad that it worked out that way because of the somewhat perplexing nature of how this astrology plays out for Virgo. Now, I mean, I've read this a number of times in various annual readings, and you've been under the influence of this astrology for a while, and, you know, including the eclipse that happened last year. Let's see, if, what's the best way to do this? The eclipse that happened last year, if you recall, the total solar eclipse in Aries, I think it was on April the 8th or something like that. And so the astrology that's happening now is not really news to you. It's not, you've been under the influence of it really going back to 2018 when Chiron made its way into Aries and therefore into your eighth house. And all the astrology of spring 2025 focuses for the most part on Pisces and on Aries, and we will we'll come back. I was thinking they might be in the other room, but they're not. Here's the Pisces and Aries. This is for a year from now in 2026, and you can see that the Pisces Aries is angle is going to be very, very exciting going into 2026. And And this is important, as I've said in many other readings, for Virgo in particular, because of the way that this is about the relationship angle of your chart. All right, Pisces and Aries. You can see Pisces here on the 7th, opposite of Virgo, and then Aries in the 8th, opposite and a little bit more of Virgo. And when you add all these planets in, you wind up with a scenario like this. They're upside down, but that's just how the cookie crumbled. And you can see all the Pisces in your seventh house here, and all the Aries in your eighth house here. Now given that these are the two most important houses associated with relationships, that is suggesting there's going to be a lot of human activity in your life and a lot of, let's say, transactions going on in your life. There's just generally going to be a lot of activity. And I've been reading these charts all morning. For example, if we look at the forthcoming lunar eclipse, that's a very important part of the spring astrology, and we line the chart up so that Virgo is in the first house. We see that there's all this movement in Pisces, and then in your own sign, there's a total lunar eclipse going on. And then in the eighth house, we have all these meetings of planets, and then we have Neptune about to go in to your eighth house. And so no matter who this reading is for, in other words, taking the same astrology and reading for any one of the 12 signs or rising signs, we have a lot of movement, a lot of momentum. But when we're talking about this kind of activity in the relationship angles, that's really kind of pretty full on, and the implication is that to put it mildly, you'll have your options open. But the thing is that, you know, how much do you really want to have your options open, right? How open do you want your options to be? Well, they are going to be pretty open. There are going to be people, there are going to be circumstances changing. There are going to be situations presenting themselves. There are going to be a wide diversity of events going on in the world around you and in the lives of the people around you, including in the lives of partners. And you will have your hands a little bit more full than usual. And there's no easy way. I mean, if I were, you know, with you personally, like if we were having this conversation in person, it would be much easier to sort it out, because I could say, well, all right, so tell me what's going on. And then you might finish and I'd say, all right, tell me how you feel about it. And from those two questions, tell me what's going on and tell me how you feel about it, I would narrow down the possibilities considerably from what we're seeing here, right? It suddenly wouldn't be so complex if I said and could respond to your answer to the question, what's going on and how do you feel about it? So let me ask you that question first of all. What is going on? And the way I would say to answer that is to describe, since the contextual framework is relationships, to describe where you stand in your relationships, where you stand in your relationship to yourself, and then how you feel about these things. And what decisions do you have to make? Do you really have to make them? So that's two questions. The first is, what decisions do you feel you have to make? And then the second question is, how do you feel about the decisions that you have to make? What are the options that you see for yourself? And I think more than anything, having Aries as the eighth place in your chart, this is, you can see it says eight here. I'm going to write it up here. So we have it a second time. Given the fact that all of this is coming through one of the most open parts of your chart, prioritization is crucial, as is acknowledging what it is that you want. Because I would propose that what you want is the thing that you are the most likely to get, because you're going to have your options open. But if you can't admit to what you want, if you can't say out loud what you want, how then are you going to make the choice? How are you going to take the steps? And we are past the point where this can be done in some kind of a subversive way, where it can be just, well, I'll just kind of sneak my way through this and kind of hope for the best. The astrology of our time is about rising to the occasion that we are in. And rising to the occasion also means rising to the challenge. So let me give you a clue about what that might be. And I know that an astrology reading may seem like an unusual place to be discussing what amounts to a form of media studies, but the connection is that the current scenario, really, which is reaching critical stage that we are in, involves the fact that we are completely inundated by and overwhelmed and overloaded by digital conditions. And by digital conditions, I mean that we're surrounded by the technology, but I also mean that we're surrounded by people who have been transformed by the technology. So an example of this is, I had a friend who was at a conference recently, like over the weekend, basically, who said that the people in the millennial age group were not telling other people their name. You know, it used to be you'd go to a conference and you'd walk up to somebody and say, "Hi, what's going on? My name's Eric Francis." And they'd say, "Hi, my name's Jimbo Doodad." And you'd shake hands and say, "Hi, what are you doing, man? Those are some nice widgets you've got there on the table. You're like the last guy actually making widgets." And he'd say, "Yeah, you know, I'm from a long line of widget makers, but you'd know his name was Jimbo Doodad." So, but to exchange Instagrams and not say your name? What planet is this? That's what I mean by digitally transformed people, where you can meet someone, you can shake hands, and you can say hello, And you don't say what your name is. I don't I simply do not comprehend this. Don't comprehend it. But that's the world we're in. And that's what I mean by people transformed by digital technology. They think that they're on the internet all the time. They act like they're on the internet all the time. My perception is, my sense is, from having looked at this now, in a way, since childhood, I got my first like Marshall McLuhan book when I was a teenager. But as a studied thing, working with Marshall's son and grandson starting in 2016. So I've got 9 years of daily reading, rumination, and doing like researching the history of astrology against all these developments. I can tell you that almost all of this, almost all of it is going on in Aries. The zone of impact of the digital environment onto the human environment is taking place in Aries. You have Aries as one of the very most important houses in your chart, which is the place where you interact with others and where others enter your life. There's a big entry into the chart there, and there's a big entry into the chart there. The entries are in mainly, they're in houses 8 and they're in house 7. House 7 is where people show up as individuals. House 8 is where they bring their entourage. House 7 is your boyfriend. House 8 is your in-laws. Okay? So when we have a chart that's going to look like this, where you've got house 7 looking like this and house 8 looking like that, well, that's a lot of in-laws and that's a lot of boyfriends or girlfriends. What's up? This is why the matter of what are you experiencing is so important. Now, I have learned not to oversell astrology like this because you want to be like, oh, say, oh my God, this is amazing. I've never seen anything like this. This is so incredible. It's going to be so great. And it may be. It may be absolutely fantastic. But I've learned to not oversell this. I've learned to not make promises, essentially. Except the one thing I can pretty much assure you of is that there's going to be movement, there's going to be energy, there's going to be a lot of interchanges. And the thing is that when all that's going on, there's going to be activity in your life. Now, by activity, I mean a lot of new people in a lot of new configurations and a lot of new patterns, which is why if there's someone that you in the middle of all of this that you really love and care about, that you communicate directly with them about all matters of any importance and that they know where you stand with them, because the confusion is going to influence everybody else in your life. And furthermore, it's very important if you have questions about what other people are at, where other people are at, that you ask them those questions openly, sincerely, and honestly about where they are at, and you listen to the things that they say. So, this is there's a bit of like Grand Central Station at rush hour, given all of this. This is well, this was the new moon. About 3 weeks, no, 2 weeks. We're right at the full moon, so talking about 10 days ago. But this is the chart for the forthcoming lunar eclipse over the weekend, probably soon after you're getting this. And like we've got Mercury about to be retrograde, we've got Venus retrograde. They're going to make a conjunction. Then both of these planets make conjunctions to Neptune. Neptune moves into Aries. The planets continue to be retrograde. The sun moves into Aries and makes conjunctions with both of these retrograde planets. Then Saturn makes conjunctions, gets conjunctions from these planets. Like it's almost like a kind of a spiral like it's almost like a square dance where people are changing partners constantly, and like the and it's you know, you going around in a kind of a cycle, and then maybe you come back to the person that you started with. And so what I'm saying is, if there's a person that you started with and you want that person in your life, you really want you want to keep your relationship with them strong, through this time, through this phase, communication with that person is going to be very, very important. And it's also going to be important to communicate with the people who are in some other role in your life. That could be various shades of friend, business partner, suitor, and things like this. And it's easy to be arbitrary. It's easy to act as if nothing really matters that much, and you're just going to do whatever it is you're going to do, and whatever happens, happens. This is really not the time to do this. I realize that when there is this much kind of volume and amplitude of astrology, that there is a little bit of let go, let God involved, because ultimately you don't really have control over the outcome. But what you do have is influence. And the way that you assert your influence is you have a real sense of what you want. You have a sense of what you want in the way of an outcome. And the second thing is that you communicate, and you communicate openly with people. You share with them where you're at. These two angles of the chart are directly associated with a wide variety of kinds of intimacy. Various shades of social intimacy, collegial intimacy. There's activity in Aquarius, which is your workhouse. Pluto has just arrived there, and so they may be very important. Pluto of Aquarius relationships, and there may be intense workplace dynamics, and only you know if something about those workplace dynamics is manifesting in any of the following houses. Okay, following along here. So the thing is that it is difficult for people to be truthful. And I could see a lot of scenarios where you might think, I really can't, I can't open up about this. But I mean, given the astrology, you know, given the number of meetings of, like, for example, we're talking about maybe 7 different conjunctions happening over the next few months in a very narrow angle of your chart involving relationships. And one of the planets involved is Mercury, and another, which is your ruling planet. And then another one involved is Venus, which generally represents love interests. Another one is the Sun, that can represent strong male figures, father figures, a strong partner. Anything could be going on. And before you relate to other people, before you say anything about your reality to other people, it's vital that you be able to admit the truth of your feelings and your reality to yourself. And at least you can have a sense of what it is you're reluctant to say. And by this, I'm talking about, like, the possibility is like right with you that there could be multiple love interests. And you may be a perfectly monogamous person, but suddenly you're looking at these options. And it could be that a partner somehow manifests multiple love interests, since all of this is happening in your partnership angle. What I'm saying is that there's quite a few people involved. There's quite a few people involved. And if you're, if you have a special attachment to one of those people, that you keep lines of communication open, and then within yourself, knowing your truth is another way to say keeping the lines of communication open. So now let's take these events one at a time. First, we have all this Venus-Mercury activity on the 7th, 8th house line. And let's add, if I got another Sharpie here, it's not going to really stand out otherwise. But there is, no, the Sharpies have all kind of flown the coop, except for this gray one. Let's just make a gray line here for Mercury. So we've got Venus and Mercury working their way back and forth over the 7th, 8th. And by the way, the difference between the 7th and the 8th is that the 7th is where the relationship happens, and the 8th is where the relationship is consummated, either with a contract, sex, money, a will, which is a form of a contract. So the 7th is a relationship, and the 8th is the consummation of the relationship, making the relationship real in form in some kind of way. So there's a tangibility to the 8th that there is not necessarily in the 7th. Or, you know, why is it that people say, we have to tie the knot, let's tie the knot, now's the time? Like, I've never done that. It's never really occurred to me. I've never even been close to doing that, but almost everyone does it. Almost everyone says at some point in their life, wow, we're close, we love each other, let's tie the knot. Well, in astrology, the tying the knot takes place on the line between the 7th and the 8th, on the line between the relationship and the consummation of the relationship. And we can see that, just saying it again, there's a lot of both. There's a lot of relationship and there's a lot of consummating the relationship. All right, let's go through some astrological history and see if we can get this down to some specifics. So things have not quite exactly been the same in your relationship life since around 2011 when Neptune entered Pisces. Pisces, again, is your relationship angle. That's because we begin the chart for Virgo with Virgo. So with Virgo in the first place, we have Pisces in the seventh place, first house self, seventh house relationships. But the thing is that to have Pisces as the relationship house is kind of challenging, because Pisces itself is so often lacking in tangibility. It has much to offer in the way of inspiration. Pisces has much to offer in the way of romantic intrigue. It can offer love, it can offer beauty, it can offer creativity, it can also offer various forms of delusion, deception, and denial. All of these things are included in Pisces, and they're also included in Neptune. And so since around 2011, you've had Neptune in Pisces, and that just means a whole bunch of Pisces. And this has come with a phase of your life, particularly of your relational life, where it's been, I'm like looking at the monitor and there's like all this lint I see on my shirt. Video, the big mirror. Neptune does not make it any easier to know where you stand with people. This really is the challenge of any Neptune transit, but particularly Neptune in the seventh, in Pisces. And so the past approximately 14 years of your relationship life may be a complete mystery to you. You may have no idea how you got to where you got to, because there's this kind of like smoke and mirror effect going on between Neptune, Pisces, and the seventh house. You need your relationships to be very solid and very tangible. If there's a sign that like inherently has the, let's say, the strongest monogamous instinct, Virgo is a candidate for that. I mean, maybe I can hear a lot of dead astrologers laughing at me. But the reason I say that Virgo potentially has natural monogamous instinct is because in the house where sexual transactions occur, you have Aries. And that suggests that you like to go deep with one person and stay there for a while. Okay? And it means that you can lose yourself in the person. Because the eighth is where we tend to lose ourselves. Aries is where we tend to find ourselves, and you have the sign of finding yourself in the house of losing yourself, which means that you kind of can do a thing where you go about finding yourself by losing yourself in another person, and then one day you realize, oh wow, like, where have I been? Like, where's the person I used to be? So you know, you may be having one of those moments, but then again, addressing the kind of foggy nature of Pisces and Neptune on the seventh house, Chiron entered Aries in 2018. And so this has pulled focus on a certain need that you have, on a certain need for depth and a certain need for clarity and a certain need for a healing mission in a relationship, and also possibly an emphasis on the struggle that you've had in the relationship to find a mutual point of understanding, of healing. Now, that's, I think, a very important tendency. And if you take a lot, you know, buy a lot of my Virgo readings, you know that I address this every single time. The nature of Aries being in the eighth house. And I did this for years without having any... I hadn't looked that far ahead when I had this theory without saying, wow, well, there's going to be a lot of stuff going on in Aries in the eighth house. And it was very exciting in the spring of 2024 with that solar eclipse conjunct Chiron. And it's been like this going back to 2018 with Chiron entering Aries. It's just like a real immediacy to your relationships, a real immediacy to your relationships. And possibly relationships reaching a kind of a critical mass point. For example, if you start to figure out who you are, if you have kind of an awakening in a relationship, but your partner is not having a similar awakening, if you are going through a phase of radical self-actualization and your partner is just happy being who they are. Now, it's possible that you're happy being who you are and they are going through a radical self-awakening because the activity is going on the relationship angle. So when things are happening on the relationship angle, it's very important that you be able to sort out all the various projections, but it's not as simple as like I project onto you. This is more like there are spotlights. There's more lights there than there are in this room. Spotlights going in every direction, possibly mirrors facing back from every direction. And it's like what is real and what is not real. And I now, you know, going back to what I suggested 10 minutes ago, which is that you know what you want. Given the nature of this astrology, I could see many scenarios under which you're like, what do I want? How the hell am I supposed to know what I want? I'm so confused. And in that case, you're just going to have to ride it out using honesty as the best policy and remembering that honesty starts with you and extends into others. Okay, back to Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom in the Natural History of Astrology. Neptune in the seventh has potentially made it quite difficult to understand where you stand with people and what the nature of your relationships really is. And Neptune in the seventh can also have an isolating feeling. In other words, you can feel isolated, but not necessarily really be isolated. But the feeling counts for a lot. And it's really almost like a kind of a background of like floating on the ocean, and you're floating on the ocean in a little boat, and you've got two other people in the boat. Well, you actually do have people around you. You've got two people around you. But then in the wider context of things, you're floating on the ocean, and that there's just not a lot of people around you besides besides that. All right. I've got to just check a technical matter here. Nope, good. All right. A lot to think about doing video. I would much rather turn the lights off and just turn the lights off and just talk into that thing and not worry about what I'm wearing. Okay, but no biggie. So remember that you are coming out of a phase of potentially feeling isolated. And now all of a sudden, everything's happening at once. And among the things that are happening at once is that Neptune, after spending 14 years in Pisces, is making its way into Aries. It's going to go into Aries on the 30th of March. It's going to go back, and then it's going to come back in early 2026. And Saturn is going to do the same thing. And finally, I've got this conjunction written here, this little thing that I'm going to fill in pink. That's the conjunction of Saturn and Neptune in the first degree of Aries. So with all of that said and not yet done, it is very highly probable that you really don't have a clue what you want or what you need. And I would suggest then, if you really don't know what you want or what you need, turn your attention inward and turn your attention inward. Because particularly with Aries up here, you have to be very introspective in your relationships. You have to really know where you stand with yourself before you can have any concept of where you stand with a partner or where a partner stands with you. And so given the astonishing nature of this activity and the types of commitments that could be involved, the kind of money that could be involved, the duration and the commitments of the relationships that could be involved, you really want to sort out what you've got going on and not make any rush decisions. And I would say that give yourself a year or a little bit more to really figure out where you stand and figure that everything that happens in the course of the next year is an experiment. Okay, so we talked about Neptune having been in Pisces and entering Aries. Now, the thing that, in a matter of days, the thing that has provided, I think, very probably, I'm not in your mind, so I don't know, but that has provided a sense of relief was the entry of Saturn into Aries in early 2023. And so now for 2 years, Saturn into Pisces. And so Neptune in Pisces is kind of like a river overflowing its banks. Saturn is the banks. Saturn is the containment. Saturn is the containment structure. And so after a very long time of the kind of river overflowing its banks, suddenly you had some containment structure. And it is probable that you made some realizations in the past 2 years, but have not necessarily made changes because Pisces is going to be slow acting and Saturn is going to say, take your time. And then suddenly, now the things are arriving in Aries, you may feel like, oh my God, let's go, let's get this show on the road. And I would say that there's still a good reason to counsel patience. And by patience, I mean, honestly, you got to give it a year from now. You got to give it till the spring of 2026 before you really know where you stand and what you want. But that is not too soon. Now is not too soon to begin this process of being scrupulously honest with yourself and starting the conversation with significant others and making sure that the relationships are what used to be known as on the level. You leveling with me? Are you leveling with me? That, remember that expression? Leveling, being on the level, standing on level ground. That, and the level is like, okay, that's kind of like the level ground. That's the horizon line. So Saturn and Neptune are moving, you know, they're going to make you question your commitments. And I think it's important to question commitments. And when it comes time to consider what to do about the commitment, that is a moment of very high responsibility and the very necessary contemplation of the karma involved. And you have to ask yourself what you need to do right by others, and what their actions would be that would be to do right by you. And I realize in situations where things are changing very quickly, and this is not only one of those situations, it's one of those situations where there's going to be change after change very quickly, where you one thing happens after the next, and you just seem to know less and less about where you stand rather than more and more about where you stand. Okay, the next thing that's going on, and this has been building for a long time, so it shouldn't really be a surprise to anyone, but of course it will be, which is that we are experiencing a conjunction of Chiron and Eris. Eris has been in Aries since around 1925, about 100 years, somewhere in there. Eris made like 5, I think, ingresses into Aries. It kept going back into Pisces and then back into Aries and back into Pisces all through the first half of the 1920s, if I'm not mistaken. It was a long time ago. But since about 100 years ago, Eris has been in Aries. That's a long time. That means that everybody alive today has Eris in Aries. So that's a condition that we have. And that is part of the, it's part of what happened to this thing about humanity that is Aries, which is the ability to make the declarative statement, I am. I am. The statement, I am, has changed under the influence of Eris, and it's particularly changed under the influence of a thing that is associated with Eris and Aries, which is the development of radio. Now, you think radio, like, oh, the shadow knows or whatever? All news all the time type radio? Well, radio turned us into tribal beings. None of us alive remember a time before humanity was transformed into these tribal beings in the 1920s. And anybody who's currently alive was like too young to have any sense of what the world was like before this happened. So we went from being tribal beings, like the people who painted the painting behind me, but they were the most individual members of the tribe. Very likely that the shaman, who are allowed to be individuals, painted that. That's from the Lascaux Cave near Bordeaux in France. And then, under the influence of radio, suddenly we were not really ourselves anymore. We were subject to this whole new wave of tribalization and nationalism. What that included was no privacy. In other words, all electrical media eviscerate privacy. And so the question then is, if there's no privacy, how do we have intimate relationships? If our whole concept of what a person is has just been blown apart by all of this like infiltration of everyone and everything. I mean, just to give you one example, a little more than 100 years ago, telephones were being dotted all over over the landscape. We went from one telephone in every town. It may have been Alexander Graham Bell who said, "Well, I don't really want to brag about my invention, but I can foresee a time when there'll be a telephone in every town." Now a lot of people are walking around with two of them in their pocket. Every town. So we go from a phone in every town to the party line, which is one telephone number shared by like 5 households. This was true even in New York City into the 1950s. The party line system worked into the 1970s. I knew this because I would kind of interview the Bell telephone guy when he'd come to the house. I would ask him, like, how things work, and they showed me certain features of the phone system. What does a party line mean? A party line means that anyone can listen in on anyone else. Anyone in that group can listen in on any on the affairs of any other family, and the operators all know what's going on all throughout the town. Privacy was completely ruined by the telephone, and this just spirals and snowballs right up into Facebook and Instagram. It is the same electric current that led us from one place to the next. Well, the question I have for you is, how do you have an intimate relationship when there's no such thing as privacy? And if you're having your intimate relationships here in House 8, and House 8 is the scene of the infiltration, the devastation, the crime scene of the removal of individuality and privacy, how do you have an intimate relationship under these kinds of conditions? And it's very, very hard. There's a drama unfolding in Washington right now, a kind of a scandal where one of the people I cover, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., got involved in some text capade with some hottie-totty journalist who apparently likes to seduce powerful men. And then, based on this texting, I mean, you would think he would be smart enough to only communicate verbally over a flip phone, but apparently that was not their MO or her MO or his MO. It becomes a kind of a sexting relationship. Well, now Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s wife is insisting that she be moved from L.A. to, according to the New York Post anyway, to Washington, D.C., where she can keep an eye on him. There is no privacy. They could have been texting and fully encrypted, you know, in WhatsApp and all this stuff and all the bullshit Facebook things are like, ooh, this is five-way triple encrypted. No, it's still in the New York Post. It's still in TMZ. Electricity means we have no privacy. What are you doing about this? Now, you wouldn't think of it that way, but I'm saying, well, you might want to think of it that way. The way that we think about what a relationship should be, right? What we think of, if we're the type that wants a partner and we like the I'm for you and you're for me and we're going to stay this way and all that, that is a concept that predates the telegraph. That's kind of medieval or biblical or before that. Well, that was then and this is now. And the this is now part is none of the ground conditions that could facilitate a relationship like that even exist anymore. They're not there. It was one thing if, you know, you would have a flirtation with the mailman or something while your husband was at work. Or you take your secretary out to lunch and have a little panky-panky in the Waldorf Astoria. That was one thing. That was one level of, shall we say, temptation. Now, suddenly, with, Match Group being one of the biggest websites on the internet and people just, like, swiping left and swiping right and people posting their photo and cheater dating boards. College women can just... I forget what this thing is called, but basically any meekly attractive college woman can basically put herself on an app and sell sex, whether she needs to or not, or daddy could be paying her entire tuition. Oh, it's just interesting. This is the world we live in. This is the eighth house that you live in. This is a completely transformed environment from when it was first delineated in English in 1647. We're still using a definition of the eighth house, death, dowry, and the substance of the bride, that was written in English for the first time in 1647, back when there was still like the town crier and mail could move as fast as a pony could walk, between Yorkshire and London. I mean, that's not very fast. And then now suddenly we're in this world of total overwhelm and capacity for communication and for interaction. And no wonder it looks a little bit like this, because this, in truth, I mean, this is the Virgo reading, but this is what the seventh and the eighth house kind of look like for almost everyone. And all the movements to try to reverse that, to the trad wife movement and all that is purely a kind of a retro, a it's kind of a it's a retro reaction, like having a sock hop. You can't bring back the 1950s. You can certainly have a sock hop, and people can dance around to do the Lindy in their socks, but that's not. It's not the 50s. So one of the things I would propose is that you fully reckon with the truth of who you are in the world today, and not attempt to be in the world today with some reference point to your grandparents, your parents, great grandparents, whatever, what their concept of a relationship was, which, by the way, was already failing by the 1950s. The divorce rate starts to go up radically in the 1950s, into the 60s, into the 70s. Maybe it levels off at some time. But how many people do you know who have been married? Two, three, four, five. My dad married five times. I meet people who. Many people have been married four times. Your grandparents would not consider that monogamous. They would not consider it marriage. They would be completely appalled by that. But I think that we tend to live looking in the rearview mirror with the expectation that somehow our lives are going to be as simple as they simple. Every life is on this planet. It's never really simple, but simple. In the sense of like not having all of these options and opportunities open, not having this much activity in the two relationship houses. Please, tell me what's going on. Now, this, of course, is 2026. This is what it will look like in a couple of weeks. Excuse me, I'm very dry. My nose is getting itchy. What it will look like in a couple of weeks. Pink line is the one that lines up. That's the seventh, eighth house cusp right there. That's it. So we've got all this Aries in the house of consummation, all of this Pisces in the house of relationships, and then this kind of spiral dance of events that happen between now and the 20. I mean, take a look at this. This series of events is what happens between only two houses in your chart, seven and eight, basically your relationship houses. Mercury retrograde, Mercury conjunct Venus, Sun conjunct Saturn, the eclipse across Pisces Aries, Mercury stations retrograde, Mars slow and powerful, going. That's in a little different quadrant of the chart. Then the Sun moves into Aries. Then the Moon and the Sun conjunct in Aries for another total eclipse in Aries. That's just this spring. That's just this spring. Well, this continues. This turns into this. So you have to be at your Jedi best. You need, I think, you keep your diary, keep your own counsel. I would say that is very, very important that you keep your business off the fucking internet, that under no circumstance do you post anything about your location, about who you're with. Turn off all the location services on your phone. Make sure that your phone is locked. Give yourself the minimum privacy protection that you can have, such that you can be able to at least work out your situations with people. And spend as much time alone as possible. I think given the nature of the Aries eighth house, the house of find, the sign of find myself in the house of lose myself, really among the few kind of antidotes to that, among the few kind of antitheses to that is keeping your own counsel and spending a lot of time alone and really coming back to knowing where you stand with yourself every day. I think that traveling alone would be very important if you can get, you know, you can get out. Uranus has been in your in the travel zone of your chart. Here's Uranus since 2018. So I don't know how you've exercised that restlessness, but Uranus and in the ninth is saying like, that's kind of like go somewhere on the spur of the moment and hang out. Well, maybe you still got some of that impulse to travel. I would say that on a fairly regular basis, if you can arrange it, if your family situation and your household situation facilitate that to spend some time alone, even if it's the afternoon where you sit someplace, nobody knows where you are, you leave your phone at home or you leave it in the car, and you sit under a tree somewhere and you think about your existence, this will help you know where you stand with yourself. Reading books will help you know. I do not mean Kindle. I do not mean audiobooks. I mean good old-fashioned paper books. Have a way of turning your attention and your focus into yourself. To bring books, bring awareness inward and work the internal imagination, which must synthesize all the characters and the activity in the book. Unlike a movie, like me right now, some expression of, you know, you're unconscious or I'm coming across on the astral dream plane. If you were reading this, it would be manifesting more as not only an inner voice, but a whole inner synthesis. And that's why reading is very important. And that's why writing is very important. And, you know, given all of this, I would be very cautious about my affairs, all of your affairs. I would stop posting photos of anything but like flowers to social media, not your children, not your pets, not your partner, not your friends. You need to realize that however public of a person you may be, and we've all been thrust into some form of public limelight in the age of the internet, no matter how public you may have ended up, you're a private person and you need to honor the private nature of who you are. It's also worth mentioning that you, Virgo, has a tendency to have a real guilt complex. And so if you have a guilt complex acting up about any of the activities of your life, I would say work that out. And just because you have a guilt complex doesn't mean that you did anything wrong. But you would know if you have in some way deceived someone or withheld important information. And I think that with acknowledging that fact inwardly can happen at any time. Acknowledging that fact outwardly is the kind of thing where you have to choose your moment. But I do suggest a sooner the better policy on that, because the sooner you are on the level with the people around you, the easier it's going to be for you to find your way, the easier it's going to be for you to find your way to the next place, and hopefully the right place for you and for the people around you. All right, yet another Virgo reading. Thank you for your business and your trust. There's much more in the awakening, particularly an 18-page written reading. I mentioned that written readings are more internally processed. And so that is still as fresh as it was on the day that it came out, less than 3 months ago. And I consider it to be my very best written astrological work. Again, The Awakening. And I will be continuing to update the astrology of the spring in various articles and horoscopes. So again, thank you for your trust above all and for your business. And I'll catch you down the road. Please tell the kitty cats and the dogs in your life that Francis of Kingston sends his love. Bye for now.